My name's Shirley Wuchter, and the title of our session is Networking for Peace, Grassroots Peacemaking. And I am holding this session because I've been involved in peacemaking, and I felt that here at Holden with our people coming from all over the United States and possibly even the world, we could learn a lot from each other by hearing our stories of how we may be involved in peacemaking ourselves or maybe would like to be involved. And so I would like to sort of share my story with you and then hope that you can respond and see if I'd like to hear your stories, and I think maybe we'll learn a lot from each other. I have a book called Seeds of Peace that has a chapter entitled Encouragement for Peace Workers, and I sort of like this quote by Dorothy Day that says, "People say, what is the sense of our small effort? They cannot see that we must lay one brick at a time, take one step at a time." And I certainly found that to be true in my pacemaking. In fact, I kept a journal. Actually, I wrote it a little bit after things got started, but I could see that it was sort of an amazing process how a local organization that got started in our town started from nothing and really gained momentum, and I think is making a fairly significant contribution in peacemaking in our town. We're certainly planting a lot of seeds. So I kept track of the process of this, thinking that perhaps other people would like to know the process, and I would guess that, in fact, I've even talked to people like Vicki who have been involved in similar kinds of things, and I talked to some other people on the trail the other day hiking up to Holden Lake, and it's interesting how the process is going on all around, and I think we are all learning certain things that work and don't work. And so I'd sort of like to share my story with you, and I'll just explain that about 3 years ago, I am a mother of two middle school children. My husband's campus pastor at Wittenberg, so I like to leave some time to be available to entertain students and be a part of his ministry. I am involved in our local church, and at that time I was and have been quite a bit involved in the religious education. I haven't actually been an official position, but I'm definitely interested in Christian education and have done a little bit of substitute teaching. So that's sort of what I was doing when this all started. And my journal starts out, January 5th, 1986, I received a letter today from Peggy Hanna, an officer of Holt, the nuclear arms race. It was addressed to pastors and religious education coordinators inviting us to hear a speaker on Sunday afternoon. Now you see, I wasn't really a coordinator, well, I guess I was a coordinator in Sunday school. I wasn't a director of Christian Ed, but she knew I was interested in this kind of thing, so sent me this letter. And the letter was about a speaker that was going to be giving a presentation on Sunday afternoon, January 26th, at the Catholic Central High School in town. A woman who is the director of the Center for Peace at St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in Columbus, Ohio. It's about 30 miles away. And she will describe the program she has developed in her area for children during the summer called Peace School. While similar to Vacation Bible School, her curriculum emphasizes non-competitive games, conflict management skills, and various aspects of peacemaking designed for 1 or 2 weeks. The letter invited us to attend her presentation so that we could incorporate all or part of her program into what we were already doing locally. So this was sort of designed for people who were involved in VBS. Then later in the month, January 26th, I wrote, around a dozen churches were represented at the meeting at the Catholic Central High School. Peggy Hanna, who initiated the meeting, had enlisted the help of three different denominations to pay for today's speaker, Madeline Trischel. The speaker was quite good, an experienced public school teacher turned director of the Center for Peace in Columbus, which is funded by the Episcopalian Diocese of Southern Ohio. Although she is coming out of a religious background, her program centers on peacemaking and could be adapted to religious or secular settings. Her approach is to advocate nonviolence, to use good teaching techniques, to focus on some very basic themes, People are different. Conflict exists, but we can manage it in a constructive way. Peacemaking is a way of life. Understanding other cultures is important, and cooperation is necessary for the future. The slides of her peace school revealed nothing new, but the way she had organized the themes into exciting learning centers and activities gave a fresh approach to some basic principles of life. There was one thing different: cooperative games. Also, there was a definite intentionality in teaching conflict management skills. I could see incorporating some of her ideas into our present church programs. After her presentation, Peggy, the convener, asked for consensus as to whether the group wanted to jointly establish a peace school in Springfield. It was decided that another meeting should be held February 23rd to see what the group wants to do. Of some 12 to 15 churches represented, most were reluctant to try a new venture, such as peace school, but all expressed an interest in adapting some of the ideas to their own settings. So I hope as you read this, maybe you'll get some ideas of your own or try to see some similarities in maybe other projects that you're involved with. Okay, then in February 23rd, another meeting at Catholic Central. It is exciting that these people give up their Sunday afternoon to attend. The group decided to enlist the services of Madame Trichelle for $150. She will conduct a workshop on peacemaking Saturday, April 26th, all day, 9 to 3. Tasks were assigned to publicize the workshop, handle registration. $15 became the fee required of every denomination sending participants. I volunteer to become registrar. Then the next day, February 24th, exactly what do I say on the registration form? I explained the purpose of the workshop as follows: to learn to teach Christian peacemaking as a joyful and creative part of everyday life, to learn to teach conflict management, non-competitive games, songs about peace, and other related ideas, to lay the groundwork for an ecumenical event in 1987 with a focus on peacemaking. That at the time seemed to be our goal. April 26th, a nice spring Saturday, 13 different churches registered with almost 40 people attending the workshop. Here was a group of strangers linked by the common bond of a desire to be peacemakers. The day was informative, helpful, energizing. At the end of the day, a Catholic layperson expressed his desire to see a community event grow from this seed, a hope expressed, a dream for the future. I gave Norman the list of participants and the few dollars left from registration so that he could send a follow-up mailing in the fall. I left with the feeling that a significant core of peacemakers in Springfield had been established. Then, May 9th, in a letter to the editor of our local newspaper, three participants of Saturday's workshop of peacemaking expressed thanks to the organizers and added this paragraph, and I quote, "Peacemaking is a conscious, learned activity. In a world which increasingly chooses to resolve differences with violence, the participants at the workshop are committed to the belief that we and our children have the choice to become peacemakers in all aspects of our lives." End of quote. I like that. To me, that paragraph explains exactly why I'm involved in this effort. And I've experienced from time to time, you think, oh, why am I doing this? And then once in a while, something like that pops up, and you think, yeah, that's why I'm doing it. I'm going to keep on going. Okay, that was in May. Now, way into, nothing really happened much until November. One of the signers of the above paragraph watched Philip and Daniel Berrigan on 60 Minutes last night. She had a dream and woke up with a desire to coordinate peace school. Upon waking, Susan called Peggy to volunteer her leadership. She later told me, "I had dreamed about this all night, and I just thought, this is what I have to do. I keep thinking about the Berrigans being in prison working for peace, and here I was, free, but doing nothing." Now, Susan is a homemaker with two little preschool kids, so she had some free time and really did a lot of thinking about this. Susan McKinney and Peggy Hanna consulted on the phone and decided to call an organizational meeting for November 23rd. They agreed to call people they knew were interested, plus the Jewish and Islamic associations in town. Now they're really getting started to think about how they can spread this. Okay, a few days later, November 21st, my friend Peggy Hanna from Holt and I agreed to meet Madeline Trichelle from Columbus. today at the Center for Peace in Columbus to see the library of resources over there and to meet with her about organizing a peace school in Springfield. Her enthusiasm was contagious and her ideas and advice were sound. I was especially intrigued by her method of recruiting teachers. She requires an interview and evaluates their motives for teaching as well as their background and skills. She seeks people who are committed to her 10 principles of teaching peacemaking. And her 10 principles are these. 1, be creative. Use everyone's talents. 2, be intentional. 3, use symbols, but carefully. 4, balance structure and choice. 5, enrich the environment. 6, value individuality and difference. 7, teach cooperation. 8, teach conflict management. 9, be positive and empowering. And 10, define what peacemaking is. Another concern of mine before visiting Madeline was how people in Springfield would develop a curriculum. She's really operating under no published curriculum. After browsing through her resource library, however, I was encouraged by the number and scope of books written on peacemaking. As long as we had a base to build upon, I was confident that we could develop our own lesson plans. Peggy and I brought back a large box of resources and a slideshow of the peace school conducted in Columbus to show at the core group meeting, planning meeting set for November 23rd. Okay, next entry was November 23rd. Susan received a call from Bashir Ahmed lending his support of the Islamic community to our efforts. He would try to send a representative. A group of 8 showed up at Susan's church at 7 p.m., and Susan had prepared a detailed agenda. After seeing the slideshow of what was done in Columbus, every person introduced themselves and told why they had come and what their expectations were. I'll always remember that night. I came with the vision that the peace school would be ecumenical in nature, bringing the various denominations in town together. As each member shared their views, however, it became evident that this group had a broader vision. I was awed by the variety of backgrounds, both religious and political, that were represented around that table. Yet an open-mindedness prevailed, and an inclusive attitude evolved that sent us soaring to new heights that evening. In order to foster a broad involvement, the group agreed by consensus to be secular in nature. They didn't want to be exclusive. They felt that if they identified themselves as a church group, then all of a sudden that would shut some people out. So they really saw a broad vision. They wanted to appeal to the entire community of Springfield, a town of 70,000, with the hope of educating children through peace school, but also raising the consciousness of the community in general. The group then focused on the tasks of beginning a peace school. Basic decisions were made. Theme, hope. Date, June 22nd to the 26th. Time, 9:30 to 12. Pupils included the first 100 to register. We set the ages from 4 to 11, including 6th grade. Susan then explained that she needed everyone's help by accepting an assignment in the following areas: teacher recruitment and training, location and liability insurance, publicity, fundraising and donations, games and activities, transportation, special planning, last day event, and a liaison to city and government, county government. Miraculously, the people sitting around the table either had expertise in those areas or had contacts. 3 were former teachers, 1 was a nursery school teacher, 1 a lawyer, 2 were mothers with young children, and 1 was a secretary involved in politics. All were between 30 and 45 years old. Susan set a date for the next meeting and announced the request for a presentation at the Sisterhood of Jewish Women and at the Muslim Temple. So she started drawing in groups in town to present this idea to. Okay, then December 7th, a slideshow was given at the Islamic Association to promote this idea. December 9th, the first choice of our location for the peace school falls through. So we met a few problems. Then in December 29th, still no free place to hold our open meeting for the public, scheduled for January 18th. Susan says people are leery of a peace group, not sure what we're all about. Then December 31st, Susan was able to reserve a room at Community Hospital for our informational meeting for the public. The hospital has these public meeting rooms, and we were able to get one of those. January 4th, Susan became discouraged that the coordinator of fundraising had to resign because of time constraints. And that's something you find out in volunteer work. Sometimes people can be counted on, and sometimes they can't. Then January 5th, 200 flyers were sent to former HALT members, plus friends and acquaintances of our core group, inviting them to an informational meeting at Community Hospital at 7 p.m. And we also sent a flyer to the editor of the local newspaper. So here's a case where we took an organization, this HALT, that had sort of died and hadn't been functioning too much, but we still used that mailing list, and that was at least a beginning. And we were pretty sure that those people would be fairly sympathetic to our cause, and they were. Okay, 4 days later, the local editor called Susan and Peggy for interviews. 2 days later, the core group planning meeting to prepare for the public meeting on January 18th was held, like a week before this public meeting. Again, Susan was organized with a printed agenda for each person. She informed us that Barry Rich, a lawyer, and Phyllis Needleman, a CPA, are donating their services to handle the legalities of the incorporation into a nonprofit organization called Springfield Peace School Incorporated. With our focus being to organize a summertime peace school, we decided we should develop a statement of our purpose or philosophy. We spent some time sharing ideas, and then we agreed on this. We all dream of a world in which peace and unity replace conflict and war. Springfield Peace School has the purpose of working actively toward that goal. We begin with acceptance of ourselves and others and appreciation rather than fear of our differences. We recognize that conflict exists, and we seek to teach techniques and skills for resolving conflict peacefully. We believe that those skills will promote harmony and peace among those who attend the school and that participants can carry this into the community. We believe we can demonstrate that peace is possible in our personal relationships, in the larger community, and ultimately in the world. And that is why our theme is hope. Already, the Coalition for Survival, an organization that's already established, found out about our efforts and wanted to donate $200. Now, that was really from a community about 10 miles away. I was asked to investigate establishing a bank account. A skeleton budget was proposed. And we had different categories like the incorporation expenses, postage, teacher training, supplies, refreshments for the school, some emergency money, and it was a budget of about $1,000. A list of community organizations would be secured by the next meeting with the hope that we could begin appealing to other charitable groups. Another item on the agenda was deciding the location of our school. Everyone felt that it was important to find a neutral setting, accessible to all in our community and not associated with any ideology. The public schools became the first choice. A former school teacher would make the contact. And I'm sorry to say, in our town, we sort of had this northwest or north-south kind of demarcation, and we felt that different locations might, or even different buildings might sort of have a certain image. So we really wanted to sort of be neutral and reach out to everybody. So the schools seemed like a pretty good choice. Well, four new members came, and a pastor offered the use of his church's bus if we wanted to offer transportation. Also, two churches offered Xeroxing privileges. Well, that's a real bonus when you're first starting out on any kind of a grassroots peacemaking or project. Spirits are high. The remainder of the meeting concentrated around plans for our public information night. And then came the night, few days before our public meeting, in the living section of our local newspaper, staff writer Tom Stafford wrote an article entitled, "War, What Is It Good For? Absolutely Nothing," in which he discussed conflict and told how Peace School addresses that problem. He gave the date, time, and place of our organizational meeting, so we felt encouraged by this publicity. And I had really forgotten this until I read over this recently, and the paper can play a real big role in promoting anything that you might be doing. So we can be discussing that in a little while.
January 16th, recruitment subcommittee. Three of us met at my house to draft an information questionnaire to match needs and talents as we recruit people to teach or to help in our peace school. Rather than following the personal interview technique of Madame Tichelle, we thought we'd use a questionnaire and go from there. And we asked questions like, what's your experience been? What's your preference for teaching? What would you do in a certain scenario to sort of see how they would handle conflict? We ask if they had used non-competitive games and how they feel about giving choices and some different styles of teaching. And then the major question I think that's really helped us a lot is, why do you want to teach in peace school? And as it's turned out, I don't think we've really ever turned anybody away, and the people that have applied have just really been very committed people, and it's been a good experience. Well, my subcommittee on teacher recruitment planned to use some job descriptions from Madeline Tichelle and a flyer on the themes and the principles of Peace School in addition to the questionnaire in our attempt to interest people in teaching or serving as resource people. We also decided to set up a display at the public open house to see books and things from other countries perhaps that might be useful in teaching Peace School. For three people who hardly knew each other, I felt we accomplished a lot in a short amount of time, and we all seemed to be on the same wavelength. Then January 18th, public meeting, 7 o'clock p.m. at the community hospital. 23 people signed in at the meeting, and we got 10 names of people interested in teaching. How promising. Any time people gather with a common concern, I think it is energizing and affirming. That was the spirit of this meeting. Susan led the meeting by first describing our hope to establish a summertime peace school, and she had lined up a speaker from the Governor Celeste's office, the governor of the state, who was in charge of OPEN, Ohio Peace Education Network. And he affirmed our efforts and informed us of other peace activities in the state. And this helps, I think, when you know of other people doing similar activities. And we're very fortunate in Ohio to have a governor who's really has a personal interest in peacemaking. His wife is German and is very conscious of the Holocaust. And both he and his wife are very much dedicated to peace efforts. So they've established this organization, Ohio Peace Education Network, and they do all they can to really get people in contact with one another and support things however they can. Susan then presented a slideshow of the Peace School in Columbus, after which we are modeling ours. We then allotted time for browsing at our tables, which gave people an opportunity to talk and to our core group and to sign up in areas of their choice, like fundraising or teaching and publicity. So the meeting went well. Then January 29th, a school administrator called Susan to confirm that the schools could be used for Springfield Peace School. What a breakthrough. February 1st, a monthly meeting of our steering committee was held. Tonight, our group displayed a continuing intensity of commitment and a policy of group consensus as we reviewed our goals, discussed our constitution, and deliberated on finances. We agreed on a 12-member board of trustees, and we elected officers. Then Robin Shoemaker, a local accountant, volunteered to set up our financial accounts and records, and we decided we needed to recruit some more teachers. February 16th, our request to speak at the Junior Service League meeting, we requested money, and then they denied the request because they didn't know enough about us. Well, then a few days later, our application for funding was denied, but we had another application for a Zonta grant, which is a business women's organization, I believe. So we went to different groups in our community soliciting funds and giving talks when they wanted to know more about us. Then in February 25th, we received a $50 donation from the Ministerial Association of Springfield. That was encouraging. March 1st, monthly meeting of the steering committee. As president, Susan reported to the group that significant community contacts had been made. She went to Big Brother, Big Sister, and they said we could use their newsletter to publicize Springfield Peace School and to use their mailing list to send our contribution requests. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference was contacted to gain support in the Black community. The public schools were contacted to see if we could do some in-service programs to explain what we were doing in the field of peace education. An application was made for money to the United Auto Workers CAP Council, since we were trying to teach conflict management skills. One of our board members had some kind of a connection there and realized that this union deals with mediation and tries to work out their management problems and deals with peacemaking. So they were sympathetic to our cause. Reapplication to the Junior Service League was denied. Zonta grant still pending. The state of Ohio had accepted our incorporation papers. The dues were for membership in our Springfield Peace School were set at $1 minimum, so it was virtually open to everyone. Everybody felt that was very important to be very open to everyone. An in-kind gift of duplicating the slideshow from Columbus so that we may have our own copy was donated. Our vice president reported that she sent out 25 letters to teachers that she knew, asking them to teach in Peace School. Another letter promoting the Peace School and asking for teachers was distributed throughout the city school system. So there again, making those personal contacts and working through people that you know really was a big help. Informational programs about Springfield Peace School have been scheduled for an elementary staff, the Head Start staff, a district church meeting, and the Temple Sisterhood. As treasurer, I reported $290 to date, with a mailing paid by one organization and Xeroxing privileges offered by another. After some discussion, the board consented to send letters requesting financial assistance to peace group members, friends of the board, churches, local organizations, etc. In addition, board members agreed to make 10 to 12 phone calls to follow up on these letters. Now, that was a real significant step in our process. Three board members contributed money to buy a bulk mailing permit. One woman volunteered to be registrar and design the forms. And I reported that 10 teachers had agreed to teach so far. Assignments were made and carried out for the next meeting. Then March 4th, the Junior Service League denied our second request. We shouldn't be teaching morals, was their response to why they denied us. It seems to me the themes of self-esteem, cooperation, cultural awareness, and conflict management are basic and uncontroversial. I suppose, however, that the name Peace School conjures up all kinds of religious and political stereotypes and assumptions that we need to deal with as we build our reputation in the community. And this really did take some work to build up what our image was going to be. CAP Council, a division of the United Auto Workers, donated $250 after a presentation to their group. I guess the teaching of conflict management skills appealed to them. And so we were encouraged again. Susan had heard, this is in March, from most of the steering committee members in regard to their phone calls requesting the donations, and $1,200 had been pledged. It appears that personal contacts make all the difference. The Truman Kennedy Democratic Club donated $25, and they said they would donate more if we were able to do a presentation. My subcommittee on teacher recruitment met in April and confirm that we had enough teachers coming to our April 11th training. We wanted to have a teacher's training in April 11th, and we had to decide how we were going to notify them. We had a roster of 31 teachers, aides, and specialists, and we made plans for the workshop to train these people. We just divided up the names so that each member would be contacted personally. Then April 5th, we had our monthly board meeting. Before we started our business, we played a cooperative game, which served as a good group interaction device and also as a tool to remind the members what we are striving to do. We also heard a recording of the song Peace in the World, and we agreed that that should be our theme. Then we talked about registration and publicity, resources, fundraising, teacher training. And then in on April 6th, a small announcement of our teacher training event was in the paper. So that was good publicity. Then April 11th came along, our teacher training workshop, an important day. We made this workshop absolutely mandatory for those wanting to teach and encouraged semi-committed people to attend, thinking it was better to have too many trained than not enough. Madeline Trischel from Columbus and her co-leader Jody Davis were superb. They began with get acquainted type activities. They gave us time to look through their materials. They presented much of their philosophy and content of their Peace School and helped us to coordinate our teachers. After giving the teachers a general background, she divided the participants into groups according to their preferences. And from lunchtime on, the people worked in small groups, focusing on a particular grade level. She also spent time enabling the subgroups to begin planning what they would teach and how. People left the training with new ideas, resources, and inspiration, and their packet was certainly helpful to our teachers. Then April 12th, Laureen Calder of our newspaper staff wrote an article entitled, "You Don't Have to Fight." It appears in today's paper, and it gave information about our school, the teacher training workshop that we sponsored, and how to enroll children. Now that was great publicity. Then 2 days later, we had a woman volunteer to be a resource coordinator, and she kept all the resource books that we had begun collecting and tried to organize a lending library. And I remember just being so thankful for one more person taking over one more responsibility, because the more people you can involve and the more you can spread out the jobs, it really helped a lot. Then April 20th, I drafted a letter to all teachers in lieu of a teacher's meeting, and I included the names, phone numbers of everybody, the daily topics, and the dates to remember. Then April 26th, Carolyn Mackey and I led a two-hour workshop for a district-wide church meeting and tried to promote the idea among a large group of churches. Then May 3rd, our monthly meeting, followed the usual business meeting. The good news was that we had reached our goal of $1,500. The bad news was that liability insurance was quoted at $579. So it was a lot of yin-yang kinds of things going on. You'd be real happy and then you'd get a roadblock. After brainstorming lots of options, a good conflict resolution technique, we decided to find out which people on our staff could get liability insurance through their own homeowner's policy, which covers volunteers working with the public and who needed a special rider if they didn't have that kind of insurance. The Springfield Peace School agreed to pay for special riders for any individual not otherwise covered. That's how we handled it. Dave Wiles, who originally offered to be in charge of supplies, has been going around to local businesses with an information packet on our group and has consequently turned himself into an excellent public relations liaison. Through Dave's efforts, we are becoming more well-known in the community and we are receiving in-kind gifts. Follow-up on the teacher's training was discussed. Madeline will give us some guidance in developing lesson plans at our next teacher's meeting. We decided to order some resource books and set up a lending library. A nursery for the teacher's children was discussed, and a maximum of 130 students for enrollment was set. The registrar will form a waiting list after we hit 130. Plans for the school picnic, the Thursday of the Peace School was announced, and the board agreed to purchase a peace pole to be presented to the city and the county commissioners at the picnic. A meeting on May 6th was held to work out the daily schedule of Peace School and to get some the snacks and a lot of the details, name tags, a lot of the details planned. May 10th, on the op-ed page of our local newspaper, Susan McKinney's article was printed today entitled "New Springfield's School Trying to Give Peace a Chance." The article told how Springfield Peace School got started and what we are attempting to offer the community. She had planned to have the newspaper print a registration form, but they didn't do it. I met with a principal of Franklin Middle School, Mr. Meyer, and he and I worked out room assignments. And here's a case where the school that was donated to us to use was a middle school, and that wasn't really ideal for elementary, but we used it, and people were very adaptable, and it worked out well, and it was really the only school that the public schools were willing to loan us, so we were just really glad to have it. May 26th. Teachers meeting at Franklin Middle School. About 24 teachers met in the cafeteria to iron out the details. And before Peace School began, and to meet with Madeline about developing curriculum and teaching and using the conflict management skills in the classroom. This evening turned out to be a real test of our resolve to work things out peacefully. There had been some misunderstandings in the way the teachers were to plan their daily schedules, and all of a sudden, everyone's expectations were different. Had people not come with conflict management skills, the meeting could have developed into a fiasco. As it turned out, everyone tried to model the peacemaking techniques that they will be teaching, and they aired their differences. They calmly discussed some of the compromises and alternate solutions. Although the atmosphere was rather tense at times, the coordination of all these people and all the details was carried out in a peaceful way. In a sense, the group had passed an important milestone. They were living what they were espousing. These people were committed to their cause, and that made all the difference. June 7th, monthly meeting at the this time at another hospital. All systems go would be the way to describe this meeting. The committees and the individuals have responsibly carried out their duties so that every phase of the planning is on schedule. Susan announced all the presentations that have been done in the community to promote our program. And this is sort of interesting just to show you how many or how wide-ranging the groups were. There was St. Mary's Deanery in a nearby town, the Truman Kennedy Democratic Club. We spoke at the Montessori School, the Head Start Program, the Gray Hill Elementary School, the Ohio Conservation of Children's League, District Meeting of Lutheran Churches, Islamic Association of the Miami Valley, the First Church of Christ, the Church of the Brethren, Unity Center, Lalechi Meeting, Fourth Lutheran Church. All these places we gave presentations to tell them what we were doing. Our registrar, Ann, reported that registrations continue to come in because more children in the younger age brackets were signing than we expected. She requested that we shift some of the teachers to lower grade levels to accommodate the number of kindergarten and lower elementary age children coming. She said the waiting list had proved helpful as already some cancellations had been coming in. And then on June 19th, was the day that we were to set up the classrooms. After a teacher's meeting, our staff bustled about the building, transforming a rather traditional school into a colorful, enticing peace school. People had made banners, had brought colorful wind socks, used crepe paper streamers to color code the classrooms, and teachers put pictures, games, rugs, and things to look at up in the rooms. By afternoon, the mood of the staff became similar to expectant mothers waiting for their new creation, Springfield Peace School, to be born. We were ready and waiting. And then, June 26th through the 26th, Springfield Peace School became a reality. So that was a process of starting from basically nothing and getting this off the ground. And then after the first year, we said, okay, we've done this one-week summer program. We'd like to do more. So we started giving workshops, not only for parents, but for teachers, getting some in-service programs started in the schools. Now, the third year, we've gotten some grant money, and we're going to start some programs after school and some daycares that take kids after school until their parents come home, and we'll run like a six-week program in those daycare centers. So we're really expanding, and things are just blossoming, and we're finding more and more opportunities to be teaching peacemaking to kids. So I
felt that the Spirit was at work, and there was just a lot of things that really kept that momentum going. And I'm sure you have experienced those same kind of things, and I thought maybe we could just share what are some of the key components of making these kind of things happen. Well, I think it's just sort of amazing to me how it did happen. I've talked to somebody here at Holden that was involved in Habitat for Humanity. She was talking about the same kind of things of setting up committees. Now, one problem we've had is a little bit of burnout, and, you know, you get this core group going, and right now I don't think we're too strong on spreading the workload. And I talked to this woman from Habitat for Humanity. She was saying they have all these committees set up. And so the more people you get on different committees, I can see how that would be advantageous. And so I thought there might be some things like that that you would learn from. Also, maybe are there areas of peacemaking that you'd particularly see as things that you'd like to get involved in or see it, that you'd like to begin? Or I just see there's so many diverse ways that you can go. I mean, some people are involved in soup kitchens, some people are involved in, like, this Habitat for Humanity. Vicki's involved in matching congregations from this country to South America. Why don't you tell them a little bit about that? Because it just shows the variety of what kinds of things we can be involved in.
Yeah. Well, that came... That came out of my own experience of being confronted with some of the issues of peace and injustice, not only in third world countries, which I visit, but also in my community. You're Red Light Crosby, right, Sunny? Mm-hmm. You know, Bemidji is where I'm from, and, you know, we're kind of in the center of three Indian reservations there. The Red Lake and the Red Lake and the wider Indian reservations. There's a lot of issues and injustice in our community, and pretty poor economically too. So I began to connect. It's real easy to go off to another part of the world and say, "Here's where I can do my thing." But I made it a goal to think about what I could do locally to match my interest internationally, because it's true that those same problems you find anywhere in the world aren't your own back door if you open your eyes. And so I made a commitment to myself, because I've been criticized by folks who say, why don't you just do it right here at home? Why do you have to go over there and find out the problems? So, all right, I will. And I did things like get involved with we have a community holiday meals program we started to pick up where Meals on Wheels left off, and people who were alone on holidays and couldn't serve themselves, we'd bring them meals or we'd invite them to come together if they were lonely or if they were families, or that didn't matter. And I got involved in that and got involved in the nursing home, just going to play for the residents there. It was another offering that I felt I could make, you know, that would be my own back door kind of thing. But out of my interest in that came the realization that my change and my understanding of peacemaking came from first-hand, person-to-person encounters with it. And I could read about it, and I was confronted by what I would read, but the real change in me came when I was, you know, face to face with the bum in the alley kind of thing. You know, I had to really deal with it on the spot. And so my vision then became to how could I enable other people to come into a first-hand reality so that they would experience that kind of change. And out of that vision, which met with the vision of another person that I met at a conference, it was one of those moments that something happened. I believe in those very strongly. Mm-hmm. A lot of things that happened with you were, yeah, you know, the people came together in a vision that kind of blossomed, and to nurture the vision and to keep that vision alive is the way I look at the process for these kind of things. And out of that nurturing for a couple of years, began a project of linking parishes here in our country with parishes and base Christian communities in Central America, where I had visited a couple of times. And now that is expanding to other parts of the Caribbean and South America, and who knows where after that. But bringing people in our congregations who want to expand their vision of the world and their understanding, and who want to make peace together with people who are really in a situation of unjust lifestyle. And there's a lot of growth that happens, and obviously a lot of peacemaking, because those folks, for instance, in Nicaragua, who we in our government call our enemy, suddenly there are people with faces, and they're people that are like us, hoping for peace and longing for freedom, and it just can't help but expand the thinking process. I mean, if nothing else, it forces us to think about it. And then to make some decision based on what the gospel would ask us to do. So that's what I've committed my life to at this point in time, is the kind of bridge building sort of peacemaking. And then doing that in the community too. I never realized that when you work for peace, you are under suspect in a way that just surprises me, that people will accept the idea of war and the idea of violence as a way of settling something much more quickly than you talk about peace. You know, you have to build a credibility that you're not kook if you're working for peace. It just keeps throwing me.
Yeah, there's certainly different images, and people just come with so many different viewpoints. Mm-hmm.
I have to ask you again about conflict management and that whole area of peacemaking, and how you can, I know all the steps to conflict management, if you know all that, but the person you're trying to resolve the conflict with is not willing to work on it,
yeah,
what do you do? And maybe what do you do?
Well, at some point in time, I decided to move away from that and go on to something else. I'm sorry, folks,
I think that that's the only,
We have a center, one of our representatives in Minnesota is not, I have to be careful there. He's
That's okay.
He has a more war stand than a peace stand. Summarizing very quickly. And so when I've been to his office, I've confronted him with some of the issues I've seen in Central America, for instance, and I've asked for consideration of a change in his policy. And I got very frustrated at that, because nothing ever is, he just kind of writes me off, mm-hmm. and writes all of us off. We go as a group, we go as religious people, we go as people who care. And then I said to a friend who's in a leadership position, what do I do about this? He said, well, you've done what you can, move on, mm-hmm. move on, don't spend time with that, you have much more to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the world, and I guess that's the view I take. I will do what I can to bring about a peaceable solution, mm-hmm. and then decide that the most peaceable thing I can do is find something else to do.
I've had that question asked before, and I remember talking to this person, and I think it's hard to talk in generalities, I guess, but just a couple thoughts. I went to this workshop that talked about dealing with controversial issues. Mm-hmm. And they were saying that if you have people who are on two different sides of the fence, perhaps, and this was really in thinking in terms of a congregation, if you invite them to sort of tell their story and find out what their own personal experience has been, and you start to understand where they're coming from, you might find out sort of what has shaped their views and what has happened in their life that has maybe made them the way they are. And sometimes when you understand somebody, you can at least accept them a little bit more. Not that you're going to agree with them at all. And you may not necessarily change your mind either, but you might be able to accept them more. And I think Vicki's right that there's a point where you just probably won't ever change their mind, and then you just have to maybe accept that and maybe take a different tack or something.
But I guess that's what, you know, comes down to the reality of that. When we're talking about peacemaking, and we're talking about teaching it to our children, and you know that has to be part of what we teach too.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
You know, my area is early childhood family education, and we talk about self-esteem and accepting individuals where they are, and that there are a variety of individuals, and that's fine, you know. And then teaching the steps of conflict resolution, but they grow up into a world that, you know, that doesn't happen. The rest of, a lot of the world is not like that. And I was telling you that the situation that I'm talking about is our superintendent and our school board. It was just a mess. And I was at those school board meetings, and there was just nothing. There was no communication. There was nothing that got through. And it came out in the papers, and you still couldn't tell what happened.
Yeah, that happened.
It was just a mess. And there was nothing. And a whole family has been destroyed over this. And a community that, you know, we don't talk about it because it was such a conflict, and yet there was no,
well, it sounds
there
like
was no communication.
Yeah, I was going to say, all of a
sudden, I've never been so amazed by anything in my life.
Yeah, there, you certainly can, when you don't have good communication, and newspapers don't always help. I mean, in our case, I think they did help a lot, and yet they can totally turn something around and misrepresent it. The communication is really a key. Listening is a key. I think time can play into this. I do believe in setting seeds, though, and I think that, you know, maybe through all this conflict, and this happens in churches, sometimes it's really painful what happens, and yet I think it forces us to look at issues, and hopefully as painful as it is right now, perhaps people will start thinking a little differently. And then, you know, we really are on different journeys. I had a very good friend who went to this first all-day peacemaking session that we had. She's a school teacher. And that very first one we had in the fall, it was the spring, I guess. And she said she went to that, and she sort of went home, and she said, oh, boy, this is pretty new stuff. I don't know about this. And it wasn't for another year until she started, I guess she went to another meeting then, and she said, well, I'm going to reconsider this. And now she became a teacher of the Peace School program. She's incorporating it into her own public school classroom. She just applied for grant money to try and spread the peacemaking program into her building in the school. But she said to me recently, she said, you know, when I first heard about this, I wasn't real sold on it. And she said, it takes time. And it does. And I guess you and I that are sort of at one level, it's really hard to accept somebody at a different level. And I guess we have to remember that. But we all grow and change, and we have to try and understand.